Support for KMUW comes from All Things Barbecue, offering a wide range of grills and smokers alongside hundreds of sauces and rubs to elevate whatever's on the menu tonight. Information at atbbq.com.
Good morning. It's Monday, April 27th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. In Kansas, radical abolitionist John Brown is associated with a violent period of the state's history in the lead-up to the Civil War.
John Brown, there's a lot of stuff that people say about him. For some people, he's a hero. Some people, he's a villain.
170 years later, some modern-day activists and educators are still debating his legacy. That's coming up after the news. Kansas Republicans were unsuccessful in their effort to require high school students to pass an American Civics exam before graduation, KMUW's Daniel Cottle reports.
Democratic Governor Laura Kelly vetoed the bill. She says curriculum should be set by the Kansas State Board of Education, not the legislature. The exam would have been based on questions from the U.S. citizenship test. The bill would have also required classroom instruction on fascist, socialist, and communist governments. Republicans say the bill would have made sure students understand foundational ideas about the country. Since they passed the bill late in the session, lawmakers will not have the opportunity to override the governor's veto. For KMUW News, I'm Daniel Cottle.
Members of a state advisory council say Kansas is not providing the money needed to serve special education students. The state and federal government consistently underfund special education, resulting in a shortfall worth hundreds of millions of dollars. But districts are still required to provide special education services, so they have to pull money from general education to bridge the gap. Lena Kisner is with the Special Education Advisory Council.
The reality is we can't continue to operate the way that we're operating, where we're going to bankrupt districts.
Kisner says districts often cannot hire the staff they need for students in special education. Overall, the state is seeing a rise in the need for special education services, as well as in the cost of providing them. The Kansas Republican Party claims a Johnson County preacher has been using his tax-exempt church's resources to potentially launch a campaign for the U.S. Senate, Zach Boblett reports.
The Kansas GOP filed a complaint with the Federal Election Commission against Reverend Adam Hamilton, minister of the Church of the Resurrection in Leawood. The complaint alleges that Hamilton used church resources to explore a U.S. Senate campaign against incumbent Senator Roger Marshall. The complaint points to the church's website, YouTube channel, and email system promoting Hamilton's announcement, actions that the Kansas GOP argues is against federal election law. Republican Party Executive Director Rob Villian says the election violation is clear.
This is a blatant misuse of funds.
Church officials deny any wrongdoing and say they followed the regular process for communicating news that could impact their congregation. At the Kansas State House, I'm Zach Boblett.
The city of Hayesville is offering financial incentives for people to open a restaurant or coffee shop within its city limits. Hayesville's launched an economic development effort to attract dining options, including coffee shops, restaurants, and fast food franchises. The city's offering up to $20,000 for each new business. City leaders say several new housing developments are going up in Hayesville, and they want to increase their dining options. Information is on the City of Hayesville's website at hayesvilleks.gov. Local faith organizations will gather today to discuss solutions to community-wide issues. Justice Together will hold its annual Nehemiah Assembly at 6 p.m. at WSU's Metroplex at 29th and Oliver. The grassroots organization includes representatives from about 40 religious communities. Leaders say the goal is to mobilize for social justice. The group is calling on local leaders to enact solutions for gun violence, housing, and homelessness. In the past, Justice Together has pushed for a municipal ID program, which Wichita leaders launched last year. More information is at dojusticetogether.org. Music Theater Wichita has announced plans for a new education center north of downtown. The Judy Slauson Center for Musical Theater is scheduled to open next year in the former Webster Elementary School on North Emporia. The group hopes to raise $25 million to renovate the vacant building. Officials say they've secured about two-thirds of their goal. Plans call for studios, hands-on learning spaces, and a rehearsal room. Once the center's completed, administration offices will move in as well. Music Theater Wichita says this summer's performances will remain at Century 2. Girls flag football is now an official high school sport in Kansas, Jody Fortino reports.
The Kansas State High School Activities Association voted to sanction girls flag football as an official sport, giving teams more opportunities for competitions, equipment, and funding. Blake Isles is the girls flag football coach at Olathe East High School. He says sanctioning the sport recognizes how hard his team works and how good they are.
They are competing at a very high level. They deserve the recognition and they deserve the platform that the other sports get.
The Kansas City Chiefs are helping schools participate in the sport. Officials say there were 29 girls flag football teams in Kansas last fall and 55 in Missouri, where it isn't sanctioned yet. I'm Jody Fortino.
High schools in Wichita and Mays fielded flag football teams last fall and plan to do so again next school year. There's more after this.
Support for KMUW comes from Fidelity Bank with Business 360, banking and lending for small businesses ready to grow. Online at fidelitybank.com.
This is Wichita's Early Edition. I'm Fletcher Powell. In Kansas, the name John Brown is shorthand for a violent period of the state's history in the lead-up to the Civil War. 170 years later, some modern-day activists and educators are still debating his legacy. Zane Irwin of the Kansas News Service reports.
Okay, friends, listen. Let me take roll really quick. Shh. Please listen.
In Lawrence, Kansas, where abolitionists and pro-slavery forces clashed over a century and a half ago, Billy Mills Middle School teacher Tom Barker introduces students to a legendary figure in this state's history.
We have to talk about this individual. We have to talk about John Brown in Kansas.
Barker explains how, in the lead-up to the Civil War, violence tore through the fledgling territory of Kansas. He tells students that John Brown came to the state determined to end slavery through violence, if necessary.
John Brown, there's a lot of stuff that people say about him. For some people, he's a hero. Some people, he's a villain.
Brown participated in the Underground Railroad, helping enslaved people escape and flee to Canada. He collaborated with Frederick Douglass and Harriet Tubman. For those reasons, some modern-day leftists view him as a mascot, especially in Kansas. One activist invoked his name in February while protesting a planned immigration detention center in Leavenworth.
What would John Brown do? John Brown was an abolitionist, and that's our heritage. That's our Kansas heritage.
Some Kansas Republicans, like former Governor Sam Brownback, have also said that Brown represents the state and its place as an historic battleground for political debates. But over time, others have come to view him as a madman or even a terrorist. After a raid by pro-slavery forces in 1856, known as the Sacking of Lawrence, Brown and his sons slaughtered five pro-slavery settlers in what historians call the Pottawatomie Massacre. So in the late 1930s, when artist John Stuart Curry painted an iconic mural of Brown in the Kansas Capitol, producer and historian Kara Heitz says it rubbed some people the wrong way.
People in the late 30s were like, no, we don't want to be remembered about that part of our history. That was the bad part of our history.
For Heitz, that historical debate still resonates. She's working on a podcast episode about it. But institutions across the country, from schools to historic sites and museums, have faced political pressure to change the way they discuss race. Jay Price teaches Kansas history at Wichita State University.
There's a real fear now about how do we even talk about this, where even mentioning the word diversity makes you a target.
Kansas lawmakers continued a pattern this year of introducing laws and budget provisions that limit how public universities can teach about systemic racism and gender identity. Regardless, Price says it's still worth asking students to consider the moral and political questions that John Brown represents.
There's also this sense of, well, we had civil rights issues, but then the civil rights era happened, the end, and all those problems have been solved. And the idea that we still have these legacies, these reverberations that are still being debated with, kind of rattles some people's cages.
The bell has rung, and the middle school students in Lawrence are off to their next class. Teacher Tom Barker tells me today's polarized politics contain echoes of the lead-up to the Civil War.
And I think within today's society, we see a lot of people who are invoking John Brown, or they're making, you know, shirts that say, I don't argue with anybody John Brown would have, you know, shot. And I think the thing is Is this the prelude for some other bigger conflict we're going to have later on in our history?
Barker wants to give his students the tools they need to decide for themselves whether Brown was a hero, a villain, or some fateful mix of the two. Nevertheless, through ongoing struggles for social justice, and through the songs, murals, and movements that still bear his name and likeness, John Brown's soul is marching on. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin in Lawrence.
John Brown's body lies a-mouldering in the grave, his soul goes marching on.
Kansas News Service is a collaboration of KMUW, KCUR, Kansas Public Radio, and High Plains Public Radio. There's more at ksnewsservice.org. Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. We'll be back tomorrow. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
Right now, at your dinner table, your young children know probably most of these rules already. And isn't that incredible, really?
Yeah.
You could talk about plosives and all that, and they'll have no idea, but they know the rules.
We're talking phonotactics. Think you don't know what they are? Oh, yes, you do. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong, Saturday morning at 11 o'clock, right here on KMUW.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.